Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. After 6 years of bloody stop-and-go warfare, Iran appears poised to score a major blow against its bitter enemy, Iraq. The battle for Basra, Iraq's southern port city, has raged since last week, and Iran now claims its troops have reached the outskirts of the heavily damaged city and have encircled an Iraqi division to the east. Before the Iraqi army expelled him on Friday, Washington Post correspondent Patrick Tyler spent 30 hours under Iranian fire in Basra.
The mood in Basra is very tense. Overall, it is a virtually empty city, a city of 1 million people that now looks like a studio back lot with empty streets. It is a city where incoming artillery rounds land at the rate of one a minute during the worst times of the day, and it's a very dangerous place to be.
According to Tyler, it's too early to say this is the beginning of the end for Iraq, but he says the trend is not favorable for Baghdad.
By denying Iraq the use of its southern capital, by emptying out Basra, Iran has already achieved a victory of sorts. It has taken away the city that it has fixed its sights upon, and while it is not physically occupying it, it has so threatened it that it has denied Basra to its population.
Tehran also says it's on the verge of taking four islands in the Shatt al-Arab waterway. Iraq's President Saddam Hussein telephoned Jordan's King Hussein and Egypt's President Mubarak over the weekend to reassure his allies he can hold off the Iranians. Iraqi warplanes bombed 11 Iranian cities, and Iran reported hundreds of people killed or wounded. The West German magazine Der Spiegel, quoting Egyptian sources, reports that if Basra falls, the U.S. plans to send troops and planes to the Gulf region. American F-111s have been flown to Turkey, but a Turkish official says they're on a routine training mission. A key suspect in the 1985 hijacking of TWA Flight 847 is waiting in a West German jail cell to learn whether he'll stand trial in the United States for air piracy and the murder of a U.S. Navy diver. Meanwhile, fears of terrorist pressure on the Bonn government as a result of last week's arrest may have been realized in Lebanon. Derek Blakely has our report from Frankfurt.
At a Frankfurt courthouse this morning, extradition proceedings against Mohammed Ali Hamadeh are once again moving forward, following Washington's decision not to seek the death penalty against him. The West Germans welcomed the U.S. decision, saying it removed a major hindrance to the extradition process. But another stumbling block may have arisen in the Beirut kidnapping of businessman Rudolf Cordes. Government officials are concerned that Cordes may have been taken as ransom in a terrorist attempt to free Hamadeh. But so far, no one has claimed responsibility for abducting Cordes or set any conditions for his release. It appears Hamadeh isn't going anywhere very soon. Officials say it could be several weeks before he's sent to the United States to stand trial, and that gives the West Germans at least some breathing space in dealing with the Cordes kidnapping. Derek Blakely, CBS News, Frankfurt.
In the battle for the America's Cup off Australia, a high-tech yacht financed by corporate America today bested New Zealand's entry, paid for in part by the pennies of schoolchildren. Today's U.S. victory sets up a best-of-seven rematch with Australia starting January 31st for possession of the trophy. Barry Peterson reports on today's finale of the Challenger Series.
It was touch and go until the end. New Zealand across the starting line by a second, but American skipper Dennis Connor put stars and stripes into high gear against the howling wind to take the lead. It was too much. Shredding his front sail, American crewmen scrambled to put up a new one as New Zealand caught up. New Zealand had its troubles, yet was within winning distance when the boat hit a buoy and had to circle around while the Americans roared ahead to win in the last leg. American Connor was gracious in victory.
They pushed us to the limit. They got behind in the series. They never quit. They fought all the way to the end.
Now, the hard work. America versus Australia for the prize America lost last time around with Dennis Connor at the helm, the America's Cup. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Fremantle, Australia.
For a second day, the nation's busiest commuter railroad is shut down by a strike. The Long Island Railroad normally carries 110,000 commuters daily into New York City, and massive traffic jams are expected as more cars and commuter buses try to squeeze onto already congested highways. Because this is a holiday, the full brunt won't be felt till tomorrow. 22,000 union steelworkers are being urged by union leaders to approve a tentative contract with USX Corporation that carries wage and benefit concessions. They've been off the job since their old contract expired August 1st, shutting down USX plants in nine states. Rutgers University in New Jersey has never had a strike in its 221-year history until today. Non-teaching workers walked out early this morning, disrupting campus life for 48,000 students. The dollar opened sharply lower against major European currencies this morning, reaching a six-year low against the Deutschmark. Earlier, as Gordon Joseloff reports, the dollar sank to a record post-war low in Tokyo.
Even before the dollar briefly broke through the psychological 150 yen barrier, editorial writers were saying a new currency war is underway. And after the close of trading, leaders of Japanese industry reacted with unusual outspokenness. Sony's chairman called breaking the 150 yen barrier shocking and extremely difficult to accept. The head of Toyota said it was nothing short of extraordinary. Both men called on Japan to take immediate steps to guide the yen to what one of them called a more appropriate level and to increase domestic demand. Japan's finance minister blamed speculators and said Japan will continue to intervene in markets to try to stabilize rates. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Tokyo.
The price of gold rose more than $5 in London, where the morning price fixing was $421.25 an ounce. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is down at this hour, 15.75 at 2060.88 on volume of 22 million shares. For federal workers and state employees in 37 states, this is a holiday in honor of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. King was honored in prayer and song in an Atlanta church yesterday, one of many services to observe his birthday. The assassinated civil rights crusader will be remembered today in many ways, but the biggest observance will be in his native Atlanta, as Bill Whitaker reports.
This morning, Secretary of State George Shultz will join Mrs. Coretta Scott King in Atlanta for an ecumenical service at Ebenezer Baptist Church, the church King once served as pastor. This afternoon, bells are to ring simultaneously in all 50 states. Communities across the country plan parades and services. All this celebration for a man who challenged America to change, who disrupted the status quo. King made many Americans angry or uncomfortable. He dreamt of a nation without bigotry or poverty. And America is different today because of what King said and did. Still, recent racial outbreaks in Forsyth County, Georgia, and Howard Beach, New York, remind us that there is still much left unchanged. 19 years after his death, Martin Luther King's message remains a challenge for the nation. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Atlanta.
10 minutes now past the hour.
As head of this very successful company, you all know I hate yes men.
Yes, sir.
I want employees who aren't afraid to tell me what they think.
Yes, sir.
Fine. Now, to save money, I want to switch from AT&T long distance to another service.
Yes, sir.
Then it's settled.
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Willoughby.
It would be a major mistake to replace the high quality of AT&T.
A major mistake?
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Won't we save a lot of money?
Yes, sir.
Maybe not.
What?
See, sir, on January 1st, AT&T lowered their out-of-state day direct dial rates by 14.5%.
Are you saying I'm wrong?
Yes, sir!
Quiet!
Because on top of those price reductions, AT&T offers volume discount calling plans, like AT&T Pro America and AT&T Pro State for even greater value.
Willoughby!
Sir?
For proving me wrong and embarrassing me in front of all my employees, I'm going to...
Yes, sir?
...resign, open a frozen yogurt stand, and make you president of this very successful corporation.
Ooh.
Willoughby?
First of all, I want you all to know I hate yes men.
Yes, sir!
Oh, boy.
AT&T Long Distance Service. Reliable, clear connections. Now at an even greater value. AT&T, the right choice.